Well, good evening. Well, good to see all of you again tonight. And thanks for your continued prayers for us in our process of moving. And we are thankful that the house is sold. And I thank you for your prayers. It was, we felt like we went through the mill prepping the house or getting ready to sell, put the house in the market. And the last couple of weeks was really hard. But we are thankful that it's now that part is done. We can live in the house. And a lot of people came through our house. About 44 showings were there in this weekend. And there were more, but all those showings in this week, we were canceled Monday through the next weekend because we got the offer already. So thank you. Now, as you've been praying, please continue to pray for our move, place to live, and also arrangement to move our personal belongings, our stuff, and transport our car, and different things needs to be taken care of. And of course, pray for a body where we could be a part, the right church to be part of, and I just pray that the Lord would open for us to continue in the ministry. And so those are some of the concerns, and I know you're already praying tonight. Please continue to pray for us. Also, Michael, Sarah, and baby Sloan, as they are also a little stressed out about this move because they don't have a place, and all those things are there. So appreciate your prayers. Thank you. So we are in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10, 11, and 12. So I'm going to read this portion, then we'll review the message. First Peter chapter 1, verse 10, 11, and 12. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. So let us ask the Lord to bless our time, and may the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. Father, we look to the throne of grace. We thank you for all your mercies. Thank you for our blessed Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. We pray that you speak to us from your word again this night, tonight. And help us we go through this portion and review the message from Sunday. Help us to see the wonderful things of the word of God and about our Savior and the whole plan of the great salvation we have. We ask this in the name of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. So are you all excited about this passage? Yes, I am excited. Okay. So let me ask, start tonight's message asking a few questions. So what is the greatest thing in this world? Salvation. This great salvation. What is the most glorious theme that exists in the world? What is the most glorious theme that exists in the world?
Yeah,
death and resurrection. It's the salvation, great salvation. That death and resurrection is the cause that what brought us salvation. So that's great. So what is the greatest word in the Christian vocabulary? Salvation. Yes, you got that right. And what is the greatest theme in the Bible? Suffering and glory and the resurrection of Christ, right? Yeah. So the if you take the whole Bible, the sum and substance of the Bible is all gearing towards the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the salvation is the Bible is written for that purpose, because in Genesis chapter 15, I believe Adam, you know, they were done. There was no way they would have been qualified to be in heaven or, but God's purpose to redeem the mankind is from that portion, Genesis 3:15, I believe, to the end of Revelation. Everything is given for the purpose of redeeming man back to the image which we lost. We were created in the image of God, and we lost it because of sin, and all have sinned and come short of the glory or the image of God. And it is God's effort to redeem the man to that image, to redeem, to save the lost man. Salvation is the theme, the great theme of the Bible. So what is the great, what is the theme of 1 Peter? What is the theme of 1 Peter? Suffering. Suffering is the theme of 1 Peter because it is written to comfort. The First Peter is written to give some sense and also to comfort those who are suffering. We know that they were scattered and suffering. So in John MacArthur's words in his introduction to First Peter, he says, Christian life can be summed up as a call to victory and glory through the path of suffering. Christian life can be summed up as a call to victory and glory through the path of suffering. So Christian life is a call to victory and glory, but it is through the path of suffering. Just like our Savior went through suffering and he was glorified, that is the path. We are called to take up our cross and follow him. So that is the summary of 1 Peter. But when you look at this first chapter 1, verse 6, it says, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. So they were going through various trials and distresses, right? What do you do when you go through various trials and distresses as these suffering Christians in verse 6? What do you do? How can we comfort when Christians go through various trials, which we all have gone through? They were suffering for the being a Christian, and we suffer many times because of our testimony. To keep our testimony, we lose reputation, we lose worldly applause, and many ways we suffer. But now, right now, for being a Christian, we are not being persecuted. That may come, but many ways we lose and suffer to keep our testimony as a Christian, because we cannot be like the world, and we have so So how do you comfort those who are suffering? How do you comfort those who are going through various trials and distresses in this life, as these believers were? Hope of salvation. Yes, that is what Peter is doing here. That is why it is given to us. The focus on this great salvation. That is the way we comfort. There is no other way we can comfort those who are going through suffering. The hope of our salvation. Focus on this great salvation. And praise God for this great salvation, because when we are thankful to the Lord for what we have, we can overcome. Our focus is changed from the circumstances and difficulties and difficult circumstances, difficult people and difficulties we are going through, when we are thankful for what we have. So we have this great salvation. So Peter is trying to keep their eyes on this great salvation in the midst of their trials. And they are being killed. They are being burned. They are being thrown into the animals. They are being beheaded. They are being put in boiling oil, or they are being crucified, as Peter was and his wife were. So that is why Peter is giving this portion, to comfort them. And as you read this chapter, we can see that. Then many other instructions are given later. So this 1 Peter chapter 1 has 25 verses. So 1 Peter chapter 1 can be divided into two portions, okay? So the first portion is verse 1 to 12. So I am going to end, I'm closing up the first portion. So it is two portions. We can divide it into two. One is verses 1 to 12. The other is verses 13 to 25. So if you read verses 1 to 12, there is not even one command there. No exhortation, no command there. But they are all indicatives. That means facts about our salvation. Facts about our salvation. So this great salvation, all the facts about this great salvation. And verse 13 to 25, we have imperatives, our responses. So the first portion, verse 1 to 12, is the facts about our salvation. And verses 13 to 25 starts, therefore. That means, because of this great salvation, what is our response, right? So if you know, Jeremy is going to take that portion next week, and it has number of imperatives, but we can see, Jeremy will explain that there are main imperatives and then sub-imperatives under there. So one of the main is verse 13, fix your hope completely on the grace because of this great salvation. So we live fixing our hope completely on the grace to be completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This grace will be perfected, completed when the Lord comes. So this salvation, this grace we have, will be completed. So just want to give you the flow of thoughts in this chapter. So let us look at this chapter 1 and see how this flows. So the first 12 verses is facts about our salvation. They are indicatives. So give me some facts about this salvation.
Chosen by God.
Good. That we can find in earlier portion, verse 1, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, chosen by God. That is a great privilege. Then let's go through the list. I'm not going to explain because it was explained before. So chosen by God. Then anybody else? John. Right. So we are chosen and we are chosen to an inheritance that would never be taken away from us. And also that is indestructible too. The natures of that inheritance is given. So we'll come back to that a little later as we go through this. Okay, anything else? So we are chosen, we have an inheritance. Sanctified by the Holy Spirit, because it is nothing we have done. If it was anything we have done, we would not have this salvation. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Sanctification took place. The Holy Spirit applied. The blood of Jesus Christ sanctified us, the death of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit caused us to be born again. So that sanctifying work is still continuing through the ministry of the Word of God. Okay. Anything else? There are plenty of facts about the salvation. Yes, that also in verse 2, sprinkled by his blood. Okay, let's move on. Yeah. Any other? So I can ask you a question, then you answer, then we can go through that way. If you're not giving me answers, facts about, okay, who caused our salvation? Who caused our salvation? God. It says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us. So he's the cause of our salvation. Is it us? Do we have anything to do with it? No, he caused it. It's all because of... So what is the motivation? The next question. So he caused our salvation. What is the motivation behind God causing his salvation? That means, why did he do that? I'm not asking the purpose, but what was the motivation? Yeah, ultimately the glory will go to him, but here it says, according to his mercy. So according to his great mercy, because not out of his great mercy, it's according to the measure. What is the measure of his mercy? According to his great mercy, right? So God caused it because of his mercy, and the measure of mercy is according to his mercy, not out of his mercy, according to his great mercy. So then that means he lavished the mercy upon us. So then... what is the goal? Now the purpose, the goal to which, you know, John was saying that he caused us to be born again for the purpose of glorifying him. What is the benefit we have out of this? Ultimately, it glorifies God, but we have some benefits. Yes, it says, caused us to be born again to a living hope. That is the purpose. What is this living hope? This is not a dead hope, a living hope. That means an eternal hope. So what is this hope? It's an inheritance, John mentioned earlier. So what are the natures of this inheritance? Some of the characteristics of this inheritance. It says it will never taken away. It will never be destroyed, decayed, and fade away. Right? So it is free of destruction, free of sin, free. It is glorious. And where is it kept now? Now, before that, let me ask you, what is the means by which God caused us to be born again? What was the means? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the means by which he gave us this salvation. He caused us to be born again. So, what we look at the nature, and where is it kept? In heaven, right? So it is kept in heaven, and we are already seated in heaven, and we are not going to lose this, never be taken away. Oh, well, you know, this is good enough to jump up and down because it's exciting what we have. And who are the recipients? We are being protected by the power of God. That's what it says. And through faith. Faith, yeah. So when I think about that, the example of Daniel comes to my mind because he was protected by God in all different situations. And also he exercised faith. He was a man of prayer. The lions could not touch him. And even the Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And they had faith. They said, even if we have to die, we will be thrown into the fire, but we will never worship the king, the image of the king. That was their conviction because they had faith. They knew that God would deliver. Even if God will not deliver them, they said, they were trusting. They had faith in this God. And Daniel had faith in this great God. Joseph had faith in this great God. So, but they were all protected by the power of God. Is God changed? No. He's same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, forever. You see, are we a different group of than what was those? They were the. No. We have the same protection. This is applied to us. We are being protected by the power of God. Nothing will happen to us without His allowing, without His knowledge. Providential hand of God is protecting us, leading and guiding, and He makes everything come together. He knows exactly what we are going through, and He has a purpose for everything happening in our lives. We don't understand it, but He knows exactly what is happening, all for the purpose of changing us into the image of Christ more and more. So, but the faith, so these are some of the facts about our salvation. And, but the trials we are going through, this is saying this is a test. What is being tested? Faith. Why? So it would? Yeah, it would be more precious than gold and will result in glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So in this we greatly rejoice, even though we have a little bit of trials and troubles in this world. And verse 8 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Why do we love him? Did anybody ever see Jesus? No. We love him through faith. We take all this truth by faith as reality, and we trust this truth. We anchored our hope in the promises of the Word of God. And we, even though we don't see him, we love him. Even though we don't see him, we believe. That's why we are called believers. We believe in him. And we greatly rejoice with joy unspeakable, inexpressible. That's a great joy. And why? Because of the outcome of our faith. That is the salvation of our souls. Now, as to this salvation, that is the passage before us, as to this salvation, so concerning this salvation, what was the theme of our the message last Sunday? What is that? Yeah, the theme was this great salvation, right? The theme. So who? There were four players in this passage. Who are the four players? God used four players. Who are they? the group of people, like if you look at the text, the Job was, it could be included in one of them. Job is included. But then the prophets, John mentioned prophets. And then next one, Holy Spirit. Third one, apostles. Those who preached the gospel at that time when it was written, was preaching, the apostles. And the fourth one, the angels, right? So this great salvation, this theme, this was the theme of the diligent study of the apostles. And this theme of great salvation was the revelation of the Holy Spirit. This great salvation was the theme of the apostles' preaching. And this great salvation, this was the theme of the angels' longing or desire as they stooped down to look into. So so this was the prophets. They prophesied. What did they prophesy about? The grace that would, go ahead. Yeah, right. So they prophesied about the grace that is yours or that would come to you. So they were prophesying about the grace and that would come to you. So they prophesied about it. Then they did careful searches and inquiries. They studied about what was the focus of their study. They prophesied about the grace. Now they are looking to study and figure out what person and what time this grace would come. So they prophesied about the grace. They knew this grace would come in a person at a particular time. And they were starting to see who this person is and when this person would come. And the Spirit in them was revealing to them that what was predicting the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. So that grace they knew would come in a person, that person would suffer. They wrote it down, like Isaiah 53 wrote it down. We know the suffering of Christ is in Isaiah 53 and also the resurrection there. Psalm 22 has sufferings of Christ. And Psalm 16 has the resurrection. And many other portions in the Old Testament speaks about Christ's sufferings and his resurrection and glories to follow. But I just want to take you to one portion that is in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 22 to 32. Acts 2, 22 to 32. So this is Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. We know how many people got saved that day? 3,000. Yeah. Yeah, so let's read verse 22. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, the man attested to you by God, with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting the end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David, now David is one of the prophets in the Old Testament, we can say, because he predicted the Lord's coming. So this is what David says in I saw the Lord always in my presence, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad. and my tongue exalted. Moreover, my flesh also will live in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Now, verse 29. Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David, and he hath died, he both died and was buried. His tomb is with us this day, and so because he was a prophet. Now the word of God says David was a prophet. Because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne, he looked ahead, spoke of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. See that, so the prophets prophesied. This is just a portion David wrote in Psalm 16, and others also prophesied about Christ. Even Christ himself. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. Verse 7. Okay, let me see. That is. Matthew chapter 13, verse 17. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So they wrote it without understanding the full meaning of it. They desired to see it. They were not able to. And they studied that. Even look at one more portion. Luke chapter 24, verse 25. Luke chapter 24, verse 25. So this is when the Lord was speaking to on the road to Emmaus. And he said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. So what Moses wrote and all the prophets wrote was about Christ. And so this is the prophets wrote it without fully understanding when and who and when. But everything is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And who is the last Old Testament prophet? John the Baptist, right? And he even wrote, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." Yet we know when he was in prison, and he sent a couple of people to Jesus to find out whether he is the Messiah. So these prophets were studying, and they were not quite understood who and when he will come. So let me go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. So this great salvation, that was the theme of their study and diligent study as they were trying to figure out who this person and when he will come. But the Holy Spirit also is an agent God used, and that was the theme of the Holy Spirit's revelation. I read it Sunday. You remember anybody what portion I read it to support that? It was 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So the Holy Spirit, the theme of the Holy Spirit revelation was the sufferings and the glories of Christ. And the glory, sufferings, we know his death, and glories, what is the glories of Christ includes? Glories of Christ include. What is resurrection? Is ascension? Is exaltation, right? He is at the right hand of God. And we read that he is exalted as King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is on the right hand of God. So we saw that it was the theme of the prophet's study. It was the theme of the Holy Spirit's revelation. It was also the theme of the apostles' preaching. And we read there in verse 12. Go back to 1 Peter. 12. It says, who preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which the angels long to look. Not going through the scripture portions, but we know that what was the theme of the apostles' preaching? It is, resurrection. You know, in Acts, we can find Acts 2:36, Acts 3:13 to 15, Acts 4:10 and 12, 5:29 to 32, 8:34 to 38, 10:38 to 40. All those portions, one thing stands out. You put him to death, God raised him from dead. We are witnesses. That was the theme of their message. And they said, there's no salvation under heaven, in any name under heaven other than in the name of Jesus Christ. And so that was the theme, but that was the theme of their preaching. And the gospel is that is the power of God. Christ crucified is the power of God. They preached Christ crucified and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'll read one more portion, that is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. So Paul, writing to Corinthians, he says, and when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my message and preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. So they spoke in the power of God, but the message was Christ crucified and rose from the dead. That is the message. That was the theme of their preaching. And we read in 1 Peter, the last, the angels were curious about this great salvation. We are more precious than angels. Why? We have salvation. We will rule over the angels, right? The saints are going to rule over the angels. Paul told Corinthians, don't you know that you will rule over the angels? And also, we are the bride of Christ. Angels are not the bride of Christ. We are one with Christ. We are his bride. So our position, we're going to sit. In Revelation, we read that we're going to sit in his throne with him. and rule. And what? So we are more blessed. We are our what we have is more precious. We have been restored to the image of Jesus Christ, the which we lost. Christ came and he reflected God in a perfect way, and we have been redeemed and restored to his image, to reflect his glory on the face of the earth and to give him glory eternally. So this great salvation, what we have is so precious. So we looked into it, starting verse 1 to 12, all the facts about this glorious salvation. And this portion, this particular portion we've been studying, the theme here is the great salvation, the theme of the prophets' study, search. This great salvation is the theme of the Holy Spirit's revelation. This great salvation is the theme of apostles' preaching. And this great salvation is the theme, or the theme into which the angels were longing to look into. Or they, we can say that was the longing. This great salvation is the longing of the angels. They stooped down to see this marvelous redeemed people, this great salvation we are enjoying. So we'll close. If you have any other comments, questions, or we'll close so we can go home. It's thunder coming. Okay. Father, we thank you for your word, this great salvation we have been brought into. We marvel, we wonder. This is because of your great mercy. And this grace you brought to us saved us. And we are in your grace. We are sustained by your grace. And we know we'll be perfected when in that grace when our Lord Jesus comes again. So we thank you. And eternally we will enjoy this glorious salvation for the praise and the glory of the grace of God. May our life be pleasing unto you. We pray that you take us home safely now. Keep us in your care until we see each other again. This we ask in the name of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.